Hey guys, I'm Paul Bates, and this is the Fermentation Podcast. Join me on this journey to put fermentation into practice, create culture, and revive this lost art that connects all of us to our cultures of the past. Today is Friday, July 18th, and this is the very first episode. So before I start off with anything else, anything about the podcast or what do I want to accomplish with it, anything that I want to cover or anything about me, I just figured I'd start right off with what is fermentation? And fermentation to me is when living things like bacteria, yeast, and other microorganisms work together in a colony or a culture or a community and break down something that was living or once living into simpler substances of nutrients, where then something else can come along and take advantage of those nutrients, completing the life cycle, on and on and on. And whenever you do this, there's some kind of a bubbling or effervescence or some kind of agitation. So you can picture, say, a champagne bottle with a cork. You pop the cork, out comes all of the bubbles, and this was just the result of microorganisms breaking down the sugars into alcohol. And the other thing that happens is whenever you have fermentation, there's some heat given off. So if you can picture like a compost pile that's been steaming for a while, this is more of like an aerobic fermentation. And whenever you do this, if you stick your hand right into the center of it, and it's really going, you could probably even burn yourself. So the example of the compost pile or beer or wine or any of the other amazing things that you can do with fermentation, you can tell it's a very powerful biochemical reaction that happens. So we should be thinking about these processes and how can we harness them? What can we use them for, whether it's for food or food preservation or making alcohol or biofertilizer or any of the other amazing things that you can do? So to tell you a little bit about myself, I live in Daytona Beach, Florida, originally from St. Louis, Missouri, but came down here when I was a little kid, so I'm basically Floridian. I got into fermentation through the survival community maybe back in 2010 when I started listening to a podcast called The Survival Podcast with Jack Spirico. I owe a lot to him, a lot of knowledge that I've gained. On the air, he would talk about different things like pickled peppers or any kind of the beers that he makes, and it just got me thinking, I need to really look into this. I mean, I knew how to dehydrate things or can things or freeze or flash freeze. And I knew the basics of food preservation, but when it came to making these amazing flavors that happens when you ferment things, I didn't know anything about it. I wanted to find everything I could about it as soon as I made my first batch of lacto-fermented pickles. So looking back now, I've fermented tons of things, still nowhere near everything that I would love to, but I started off with pickled vegetables like the traditional dill pickle cucumbers that were really amazing. Pickled peppers, so when you take jalapenos with onions and garlic and mustard seeds. Or getting into the sauerkraut world, I'm sure you can find tons of recipes, you know, whether you have just a basic sauerkraut, you know, with caraway seeds and cabbage, and or you can change it up, put carrots in there, any kind of Indian spices. Some of the other things I've done would be sourdough bread, you know, making a sourdough starter, making bread with it. I'd love to do that more often. Some of the more favorite things I've also done would be making different beverages like lacto-fermented sodas like ginger ale, some other interesting things like sweet tea kombucha, fermenting sweet tea from a culture which who knows how long it's been around. Beet kvass, fruit kvass, rejuvelac. I haven't gotten into home brewing, but I would love to do that. Can't wait to find some great recipes on there. Love to go to breweries just to see, you know, what they're cooking up in my area. It's just amazing flavors. I almost can't stress enough about the flavors. I mean, it feels like the flavors that we've lost that are slowly coming back into existence. And I think the more people that start to do this, the more excitement we'll get on the topic, the more recipes we'll get, the more ideas, and I'm just so excited to have more people, have like a community or a culture of people to join me on this journey. So to tell you a little bit more about myself, back in 2005, I got my computer science degree. I graduated, came right out of college, got a job at like a mid-sized e-commerce company. Very exciting the whole time, but I always felt like there was something else that was missing, something that I really wanted to get more connected to the natural world. And I think that's when I got more into like backpacking and hiking and camping and just seeing nature. And then finally, when I started coming across fermentation, that really made me start thinking, and then being in the survival movement and starting a garden and then getting into something called permaculture. I got certified in permaculture by Jeff Lawton of the Permaculture Research Institute of Australia. That was a very exciting program to be involved in. You learn about making designer ecosystems. So you can just imagine a forest in maturity or at its climax. Can you imagine if that forest was starting off as a field and you could do anything to it? You had a certain landscape that you could shape, different plants that you could bring in. Can you imagine all the different types of forests around the world, and then imagine that you're the designer of that forest? Permaculture actually teaches you how to develop ecosystems for certain specific reasons. So to define permaculture, it's a design science that provides for all the needs of humanity in a way that also benefits the environment at the same time. So for me, having an understanding of permaculture, I think when I'm explaining something, it might give a better understanding of what's going on in the micro world. So if you look at, say, a pickle jar, and there's several different types of bacteria and yeast. So say a stray bacteria gets into your pickle culture, it's not going to matter because the polyculture is so strong. There's so many different interconnections. If any of those connections are broken, it's a very resilient system, which is what permaculture teaches. So to tell you about another area of experience I have, I think you guys might benefit from, it would actually be photography. So after getting into photography, I felt so much closer to nature, since I would go out and try to capture the most beautiful moments I could, usually being sunrises, sunsets, or moonscapes. I would get up early in the morning to go see a sunrise, late in the afternoon, get out to a beautiful place I could find for a sunset, or in the middle of the night to see the moonrise to take a perfect shot. And I've always had a yearning to get out on the trail, find views that could charge you, make you feel more alive than you've ever felt. Some of the places I've backpacked or hiked with my wonderful wife have been up in Maine in Acadia National Park, several challenging trails in Smoky Mountain National Park, up in Quebec, Canada, in a place called Jacques Cartier National Park, and several section hikes on the Appalachian Trail, which are just gorgeous. The only reason I mention any of this is I think it's important to have a connection to nature when it comes to photography, since I only try to capture the best. And I'm hoping I could bring some of those great shots into the podcast when I take pictures of any of the things I make or describe, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. And when you see some of the pictures of this beautiful food, I think your mouth is just going to water. So moving on to a completely different area, I guess just a little bit of political philosophy. I don't like to get political, but just to let you know who I am and who you're listening to, I'm much more libertarian, but only in the idea of the word, not the political party. And I don't believe in any of the left-right paradigm that seems to trap most Americans into voting for the lesser of two evils. That's not what I want to get into. The only reason I bring any of this up is because it's one of the most important things you might need to consider in your life when it comes to personal liberty. I know this is a show on fermentation, but individual liberty affects so many areas in your life you probably wouldn't even realize, especially fermentation. And that without personal liberty, many of the things you might want to do are either A, illegal in reference to raw milk in some areas of the country, or say distillation of alcohol, or say even growing a plant that you want to grow. And I think you know where I'm going with that. So there's so many different things that are illegal, or B, say it might be illegal someday just because somebody in office decides, oh, this is the evil thing now, so it needs to be regulated out of existence. Or even C, which a lot of people probably think more about nowadays, and that would be the topic of debt. So say you buy into the left-right paradigm, buy into being a slave of all the different systems that set you up and have you rely on them. You get a lot of debt, you have a lot of student debt, you get credit cards, you just feel kind of trapped in your job, and that just kind of erodes all of the personal liberty. It's almost like you're chaining yourself in your own jail cell. So individual liberty affects every aspect of your life. And in this podcast, my focus actually wants to be very positive and what we can change, but occasionally some of these subjects have to be visited because you have to know about them, have to discuss them, have to always be thinking about what you can do to forward your personal liberty. So moving on to a different topic, why exactly do I want to do this show? And the reason for that is pretty simple. I just want to discover new and lost flavors, regain old world knowledge, and have a great community of people that love this exact same thing. And as a separate note on flavors, say you have somebody sitting right next to you and you want to explain to them what a strawberry tastes like. You say, hey, I got this great new fruit. You got to try it. And they say, hey, you know, what does it taste like? Have you ever thought exactly what does a strawberry taste like to someone who's never tasted one? There have been so many surprising flavors I've discovered when I've ventured out and tried exotic fruits like the massive tropical jackfruit or the amazingly flavorful soursop. Or just recently when my wife and I attended a exotic fruit festival down near Miami in a place called Homestead, there was a long table that had 120 different types of mangoes on the table. It was crazy to see something like that. I mean, they were just all different shapes, all different sizes, different colors. When we tasted them, they were different textures, just little hints of flavors here and there. 120 different types of one fruit. That's pretty crazy. That's only a fraction of the several hundred varieties there are in the world of mangoes also. And I only mention this because if you have an unlimited number of flavors available to you, and you can mix it up with fermentation, the possibilities are literally endless. I mean, seriously, it is time to get to work on some of these flavor combinations. So what I actually want to accomplish with this show is have a community of people surrounding these ideas that are active, changing their lives for the better, and bringing these ideas into the mainstream. Also, I'd love to see more naturally fermented products in farmers markets and the general public. And some of these things are starting to show up in more high-end markets, like locally, right by my house, there's a Publix. And now it's the first time I've ever seen them have kombucha, but there needs to be a lot more than that. And it'd also be nice to see, say, neighborhoods of people creating amazing products and bartering or selling them locally. And the other thing I'd like to accomplish with this show is being able to have this as a career and make a living with it or something like it. Permaculture teaches that for a system to be sustainable, it always needs to produce a return of surplus, and the surplus would be profits. So when you're thinking about permaculture and the three ethics being the care of earth, care of people, and return of surplus back to the first two, making a profit isn't bad. It's the way to show an idea has value, and people are willing to put their hard-earned money behind that idea. So I'm hoping that you'll value what I'm doing with this podcast and website. Now to just tell you, say, a brief overview of some of the topics I want to talk about on future shows. Say, the first section, and you guys could submit anything else you'd like, and I'm sure I'll probably cover it in the future, but so say, understanding the microbial world on the micro scale. So what happens on the microbial level? Are there one type of bacteria, one type of yeast, or are there many? What's the life cycle of a microbe, and what does that have to do with us? And the next one, I'm sure many of you may never have heard this, but you'll have to stop and truly sit back and think about this for a moment. Imagine every cell in your body that contains your unique DNA that makes you, you. Think about there's 1 trillion human cells in your body, and then realize that if you look at every microbe in and on your body, including bacteria, yeast, etc., there's 10 trillion of them, so they outnumber you 10 to 1. You're made up more of microbial organisms than you are yourself. So how about some serious respect and nurturing for these little creatures that keep your body functioning, and they do so much for you? We've co-evolved, or were created, whichever you believe, together, and both benefit from one another in a symbiotic relationship. Most of the time, anyways. Moving on from the microbial world and getting more into, like, the nuts and bolts of everything, the first section will be maybe, like, techniques of preservation, and I'll start with the most common. It is amazing, though, when you go into different survival sites or food preservation sites, you almost never hear about fermentation. You hear about these other things first, I guess, because they're sexier, because you get to use technology. Anyways, on food preservation, I'd like to go and compare the different types of preservation, starting with, say, like refrigeration, then freezing, flash freezing, canning, bulk foods. So bulk foods, say, if you have buckets or jars with O2 absorbers, vacuum sealing, dehydrating, pickling, say, with like sterilized vinegar rather than a brine that you would create yourself. Drying with vinegar, and I've heard this on the Survival Podcast where he talks about biltong, which is like a meat that you hang up and cover with vinegar and salt. Other ways would be like chemicals and nitrates, sulfur, and who knows what else, but I'd rather just focus on more of the natural methods than unnatural extreme chemical methods, so I won't be going into any of those, which finally leads us to the most common way that humanity has preserved food in our entire history, before all of the technology we've enjoyed today, and that's fermentation. And on those topics, I would get into things like the basic equipment. I guess it depends on what you're making too, what you're fermenting or brewing, but things like mason jars, crocks, carboys, and anything like that. So the next main section, which would probably be talked about the most on every show, would be more like recipes, like fermented foods and beverages. And there's several different categories. I haven't even covered myself some of the categories, but some of them would be vegetable ferments, fruit ferments, fermenting grains and starchy roots, fermenting beans, nuts, and seeds, or any of the plant protein type of categories. Different molds like tempeh or koji, and fermenting dairy products, which is going to be interesting for me since I'm vegan, but I'm going to be covering it anyway. Things like cheese, whey, yogurt, kefir or kefir, vili or butter. More things like alcoholic products like beer, wine, and say anything that starts to create a good amount of alcohol. Which could be several different things, say mead, or I guess even a kombucha if you leave it a little bit too long. And it should get pretty interesting when I talk about things like meat products or eggs or anything like that, you know, like I said before, being vegan. But I think it's important to be discussed because it's been such a large part of human history. And I don't have any ideologies that hold me back, since information is one of the things I value most. Once you're informed, you have the ability to make your own decision, and that's the beauty of individual liberty. Other sections would be, say, the dangers of fermentation, fermentation in human history. How did we discover this? You know, why did we start fermenting? Which I'm guessing probably the best reason would be to preserve the harvest. I'm not sure what the oldest ferment would be, but one of the oldest fermented beverages would be mead or honey wine. What could be some of the positive health aspects of consuming fermented products? So say you want to create more of a polyculture in your system, get more, say, bacteria or yeast that are positive. I guess that would be probiotics. Another thing you would think about would be, say you might want to absorb more nutrients or minerals when you have microbes breaking things down for you. Beforehand that you might not normally be able to digest. Other areas that I think would be nice to cover would be, say, starting a fermentation business. So if I could get people on the show to interview that have already started their own fermentation business, say like a brewery or a pickle shop or kombuchery or anything like that, it would be nice to have people on the show to give direction or to give ideas how to get something like that started. Another area would be permaculture, when this is a subject, obviously, that you already know that is very dear to me. And if you ever get a chance to take a PDC, which is a permaculture design course, it will change your view of the world forever. And I think it's one of the best ways that the world could be changed. You can go out and protest and raise some hell, but I think you'll probably find that a negative approach to a problem doesn't ever solve the problem. You'll get much more results if you start changing your own life. And when other people see what you're doing and get excited about it and want that for themselves, it becomes addicting. And I think many more people would be changed by that approach than a negative approach. Other things would be, say, gardening. And gardening goes very well with fermentation. I think it would be fun to have on the show. I mean, right now, if I just turn my head, I'm looking out the window and I see several different pots. One has mint, mint, rosemary, oregano, stevia. Looking past, I see five tall sunflowers, some parsley, basil everywhere, fig tree, okra, peach tree, bananas. I could probably go on and on. Ghost pepper, the hottest pepper in the world. And I think that would be interesting to make a hot sauce out of that. So many different other things. And I only live on maybe like a quarter, actually maybe like a tenth of an acre. I barely have a yard at all, but stuffing that much in there and being able to pick right from the garden to bring in to ferment, it's so much fun. And most of all, that I think would be nice to have on the show, or nice to be part of the show, would be a community, or what I like to think of as like a culture. And when you think about fermentation, fermented food and drinks have brought people together forever. At a get-together, what do you put on those boring hot dogs or sandwiches to make the flavor explode? Something fermented. What is the most decadent, rich flavor that most people describe as sinful? Something that is usually fermented. What does the majority of people in this country get up and pour a hot cup of every day in the morning to get them going? You wouldn't realize it, but something that is also usually fermented. There are many more examples, but just think about it. Just about every time there's a big celebration with laughter or sorrow or an important event in a person's life, what do you raise your glasses and toast with? Something fermented. To talk a little bit about the show structure, I was thinking it would probably be a once a week type of a podcast, or maybe even twice a week, depending on how much interest I get back from it. And say if I have huge amounts of content, maybe it would be every day. I guess it just depends on however many interviews I get or topics. I want to do blogs every day and post on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and maybe occasionally some YouTube videos. But I've gotten used to probably Jack's way of doing the show structure. I guess listening to the podcast so long, I've Monday through Friday, I was always expecting Monday was a listener feedback show. Friday is more of like a call-in show. But for my podcast, the Fermentation Podcast, I was thinking Tuesday would be like Technique Tuesday or Techniques or something like that. Wednesday, maybe it would be like an interview or book review or something else. Thursday would be maybe a recipe. And Monday and Friday, I guess it's just up in the air for now. I guess we'll see. If you have any ideas or know someone who would be great for an interview, you know, let me know. Write me at paul@fermentationpodcast.com or click on contact on the website. Or if you would even like to be interviewed, if you have something to talk about, just let me know. And that brings me to the last thing I want to talk about, which would be member support. One goal of this show is to eventually make a members area so that this can be self-sustaining. And in there, I would love to have lots of vendors to where they would give you a discount. I guess we'll see how many vendors I can find, whether it would be home brewers or, say, places where you could get yeast or any kind of equipment or maybe even water filters or anything like that. This would also be a place where you'd be able to get every single recipe that I put in there that is successful. Anything with great pictures, I would put it all together, like kind of like a cookbook. I would also maybe make some members only videos. I don't want this to be a charity. I'd love for this to be a business where people value what I'm putting out. So hopefully the free market will decide that this show provides value and I can have this as a self-sustaining model that will also benefit others. And finally, just to close this out, the thing I want to end the first show with is, like I said before, I want a community around this. Community can do so much for knowledge, or even saving you money if you're getting your cultures from friends or people who have the same interests as you do. I want to know that people are getting excited and really care about bringing this back into their lives and changing it for the better. And when I start seeing comments on my site or replies on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Pinterest, or wherever else you guys want this to go, that's going to really get me fired up. I'm so excited to start building this knowledge base of recipes and techniques and history, but the thing that would really make me the happiest with this whole thing is to know that people actually care about this and are actually putting this knowledge to use. One of my mentors in permaculture, Jeff Lawton, said it best, "Knowledge without action is worthless. It lacks value." This has been Paul Bates with the first episode of the Fermentation Podcast, encouraging you to put this knowledge into action, change your life, ferment responsibly, and get out there and create some culture.